The new IMF chief already has her dance card filled.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. China expressed support this morning for French Finance Minister Christine Lagarde, who will become the new head of the International Monetary Fund next week. That's important because China is an emerging economy, and emerging economies were hoping one of their own would be the new IMF chief. Lagarde will start her new role with one thing on her mind, the Greek debt crisis. And that's where we'll start this morning with Marketplace's European correspondent, Stephen Beard, who joins us live. Stephen, how does this new IMF chief change the dynamic when it comes to Greece?
Very difficult to say, because we're on the brink of what could be a game-changing event. If the Greek parliament fails to approve this package of austerity measures today and tomorrow, Lagarde and the EU will have to decide whether to carry through their threat to withhold any more bailout money from Greece. That's going to be a very tricky decision, because it could trigger a Greek default, and that could cause another major financial meltdown.
And Stephen, what about the fact that Lagarde is from Western Europe and not from an emerging economy?
It's a double-edged sword, that. I mean, on the one hand, she's a European political heavyweight. She can knock heads together in Europe better than an outsider. And she has empathy with European leaders. But Eswar Prasad of the Brookings Institution says that empathy may not play too well in the rest of the world outside Europe.
There is a real danger that it could be seen as favoritism rather than technically minded decisions. And that would not serve either the Europe or the IMF very well in the long run.
Lagarde is going to have to look very carefully over her shoulder at the IMF's biggest donor, the US. She's going to have to worry that her actions at the IMF are not perceived in the US as throwing good money after bad for the sake of Europe.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, today the Department of Defense is teaming up with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to launch a new program to find jobs for military spouses on the home front. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Careers in the military require constant relocation from one base to another. That makes it hard for the spouses of service members to hold down a job.
They have an extremely high unemployment rate, nearing 30%.
Kevin Schmiegel is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
You have lots of military spouses with college degrees, even with PhDs, that are currently not employed because of the transient nature of their families.
A spouse's career becomes especially important if a soldier is injured or killed. Tom Tarantino with Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America says military benefits do help, but they won't pay for a vet's kids to go to college.
Suddenly, this person who was in charge of keeping the home front now has to go out and be the primary breadwinner.
So far, 72 companies have signed on to hire military spouses. This summer across the country, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce will be holding job fairs for vets and their spouses. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading this morning, about 1.5% right now in Paris. Bank of America is reportedly near a deal to pay $8.5 billion to a group of investors who say they got a raw deal on mortgage-backed securities they bought from the bank. The settlement would wipe out B of A's earnings for the first half of this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 145 points to close at 12,188.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Now to the world of professional basketball, which is on the verge of its first work stoppage since the 1990s. The NBA's collective bargaining agreement expires tomorrow, and players and owners still haven't reached a deal. For more on this, let's bring in Henry Abbott from ESPN.com's True Hoop blog. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Henry, from the outside, it looks like a bunch of rich guys, whether they be owners or players, arguing over millions of dollars. Is there any reason that I shouldn't see it that way?
It is definitely, you know, it's billionaires versus millionaires, and nobody in this fight is going to go hungry no matter what happens.
And what's at stake? We're talking about 50-50 split or 57-43. Is that basically what they're arguing over?
They have long had a system where players get 57% of what's called basketball-related income. And the notion is that as basketball earns the league more money, players earn more money. Now, what's happening in these negotiations is that's changing because giving the players that percentage of the income is too painful for owners, and they want to reduce that or change the structure entirely so that they pay players more of a fixed cost instead of letting players have such a big chunk of the money as it comes in.
Henry, put this in the context of the broader sports picture. There's also this NFL lockout.
There's an interesting thing going on here. In the NFL, they're fighting over profits. The NBA owners are saying, hey, this isn't working for us. This is a broken system. We need to fix it immediately. Now, after a whole bunch of negotiating, the NBA players are sort of coming to the point of agreeing, yeah, maybe the owners do need a little more something from us. And so it puts a lot of pressure on players to actually work on a creative solution and, you know, feel a little pain themselves. Whereas in the NFL, nothing's compelling them to feel any pain at all.
Is there the risk of losing fans in the long term if these lockouts, both in the NFL and the NBA, drag out?
Oh, sure. American fans have a bit of a rocky history of turning on NBA players. And so the league has done a great job. They have tremendous young stars, and fans are very excited about these players right now. If they have them locked out and we see those pictures of these guys in their Armani suits walking across the sidewalk saying, no, they're not paying us enough, we won't work for you, it doesn't help. And so I think the league and the players are both cognizant of that. If they embitter fans to a league that they've sometimes don't love as much as they might, it could really hurt.
Henry Abbott, a senior writer with ESPN.com's True Hoop blog, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, to Austria, where a big air show gets underway later this week, and authorities are worried about storks, that they could be a danger to the airplanes in the show. But officials aren't allowed to shoot the birds, and their attempts to lure them away with food hasn't worked, so they're turning to Plan C. About 24 soldiers will stare down the birds to intimidate them. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.